right. Good morning, everybody. Well, thank you for making the trip on this snowy day. It definitely has been one of those winters where we get to enjoy being Canadian. I'm really happy to be here today, and thank you, Bruce, for the invite. I'm going to move around a little bit because I have a little bit of jitter legs, but I'm here to kind of talk to you about a family story about conscious growth. And I'm going to take you through sort of the story of Court the Dairy and how it has developed over the last almost 90 years, the role that I'm playing within it and the vision that we've got over the next 90 years. Who here is familiar with Court the Dairy? Put your hand up, please. All right, so a couple of folks are here, so that's interesting. Who here has tried our ice cream? All right. Who here has drank our milk? Okay, fantastic. So I'm talking to a group that knows Court the Dairy a little bit. What I want to tell you is Court the Dairy was started almost 90 years ago by Jack and Ira Crow. Is there anyone in this room that has met or knew Jack and Ira Crow in the day? Put your hand right up. There's a few people that knew Jack and Ira Crow. So did I. I actually delivered the paper to them when I was about 10 years old. And I'll tell you a story about Jack and Ira Crow. Is I delivered paper to pretty well almost every house in Bob Cajun. I was a very ambitious young kid. I was about 10 years old. But Jack and Ira Crow's house was different. When I delivered to Jack and Ira Crow, they didn't want the paper left at the door. They wanted it inside. So when it was time for me to deliver the paper, I would walk in, I would open the breezeway door, I would walk down the breezeway, I would turn around, and then you open your kitchen door. And I would walk right into their kitchen, and Jack would be sitting at the end of the table, and I would drop the paper right down at the end of the table for Jack Crow. He was always sitting there, and every time I went there, he had a story to tell me. And those were very fond memories. I also remember watching Isla standing at the sink, usually doing dishes or getting something ready for dinner, but she always had her eye out the window watching the customers come in out of the store because Jack and Ira Crow lived right next to Court the Dairy. And those were some of my early memories of Jack Crow. You're going to learn a little bit more about me as I go forward. They started Court the Dairy in 1937. In a small, little, tiny shack, going to pick milk up from local farms, bringing them back in cans, skimming them, putting them in bottles, and then delivering to people's houses around town. And it's grown a lot, you know, since those very early days in 1937, but a lot of things haven't changed. A lot of things have still committed to making wholesome dairy products the way Jack and Ira did back in 1937. And we're on a journey to kind of let people discover Court the Dairy. We've come a heck of a long way from delivering horse and buggy, horse and sleigh. It is quite amazing how difficult it was to do business back then. It's difficult today, but on different terms as well. We still source our milk from family farms in and around 70 kilometers from the plant. In fact, many of them are in the Lindsay area. Do we have any dairy farmers in the crowd today? Put your hand up. Okay. None. That is shocking to me. Because there are so many of them in the area. And quite frankly, we can only do what we do because of the fantastic quality of milk that we get from farms in and around Lindsay, Bob Cajun, and Woodville. And what's most interesting that a lot of people don't realize in the country is that we are one of the last, maybe the only, manufacturer of ice cream in Canada that still receives milk directly from farms. So we go and pick up milk every day from farms, bring it back to the dairy, and process it. And when we process it, in many cases, most of the time, that milk can go from being milked on the farm at 5 o'clock to being on a truck to be delivered to a customer later that day. And it can be on shelves, particularly when talking about milk, can be on shelves within 24 hours. Talk about fresh. And we believe that's one of our secrets in making fantastic tasting ice cream, is that we can turn it from milk to ice cream faster than anybody else. We are also one of the only manufacturers in Canada that has fresh milk and fresh cream as our first two ingredients in our products. In many cases, if you look at a lot of our competition, and by the way, this is not to put down any of our competition, because they make fantastic ice cream and products as well, and they appeal to different consumer segments across the country. But what makes us different is fresh milk and fresh cream are the first two ingredients in our ice cream. In many cases, if you were to go on the shelf, you would not see the first ingredient, which is water, in most ice creams. Water would be the first ingredient. But in Canada, you don't need to put water on the ingredient list. And so for us, we use milk still, when a lot of our competition uses water. And so one of the things that hasn't changed is the Crowe family continues to be very committed to making super premium ice cream at premium prices. Now, I know when you go and stare at the shelf, and many of you have probably done that, you'll see that we're a little bit more expensive than a lot of the ice creams that you'll see on the shelf. But what you don't realize is that the quality that we're putting inside of our package is about the same as maybe Häagen-Dazs. Any of you tried Häagen-Dazs? Okay? It's pretty good ice cream. With Häagen-Dazs, we essentially make Häagen-Dazs quality ice cream, and we put it in a 1.5 liter. And we charge about $8.50 for that. Now, Häagen-Dazs takes their ice cream and they put it in a 450ml ice cream and sell that for $6. So if Häagen-Dazs was put that into a package the size of ours, they'd be charging $18 to $19 for that. And so the secret that the Crowe family is really focused on is making high-quality ice cream at reasonable and accessible prices to everyday Canadians. That has been their secret. We are still using the exact same ice cream recipe that Jack Crowe developed in the 1950s. We've not changed it. When a lot of our competition has taken some dairy out or find other ways to make a cheaper product, the Crowe family has been significantly focused on not changing Jack's recipe. Now, we talk a lot about ice cream, but we're a lot more than ice cream. Actually, ice cream is our biggest business. That is the big blue section of the part. But we operate in about five different businesses. Funny fact, you know, hear my story in a couple minutes. I started back at Crowe & Dairy in 2018. When I joined in 2018, milk was the biggest business that we had. And you can actually see that it's about half the size of ice cream today. So in the last 8 years, ice cream has significantly grown. But not only are we a manufacturer, we're also a retailer. Anyone here visited the Berry Barn here in Coin? Put your hand up. Anyone been in Bacajan? The Indian? Bancroft? Okay, I'm going to stop because I have 19 stores to go through. But not only are we a manufacturer, we're also a retailer, and that's a really unique thing for dairies. Most people are either a manufacturer or you're a retailer. We're both. So our retail stores makes up a significant amount of the business, about 35%. We also do a bunch of milk products, which we call industrial business. And so we will actually ship full tankers of dairy products to other factories in Toronto to make other things like yogurt or bread. And so we actually, that's a significant part of the business. And then we also do some resale stuff around eggs and things like that. But the biggest part of our business is ice cream, milk, and our retail stores. So I'm going to play you a little video here, hopefully it kind of works, that gives you a sense of who we are as a company. Some of you might recognize some of the people in this video. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie, and I love it, and I want to share it with you today.
I'm Kevin Ingram, and I make ice cream. Started in 1937 by Jack and Isla Crowe.
Through family history and family lore, my understanding is that my grandpa and grandma moved to Oshawa where my grandfather was working for the Oshawa Dairy Company. And then in 1937, shortly after they were married, they moved back to Bacajan where he purchased an existing dairy operation and named it Quartha Dairy. They had their trials and tribulations getting started, but they both grew up in this area, so we knew what work was all about and what it was going to take, and that's how they got it done.
I always thought of them sort of as a good team of horses. They pulled together and in the same direction, and they didn't get distracted from what their objectives were.
The dairy started producing ice cream in the early 1950s. I first got involved at the age of about 10. I guess that's when I started working in the dairy, and we always felt we were involved because the dairy was really kind of part of being the family. What makes our product special is that we're using 100% milk and cream, Canadian sourced, fresh, right from the farm.
The dairy farmers are where the action all starts. We count on those dairy farmers to produce that 100% Canadian milk. Well, they're farming 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, because these girls can call anytime. The Crow family's been there as long as we've been here almost, so our milk has been going back there for over 30 years, and to know that your milk's being processed locally, it produces products that are made from 100% Canadian milk.
When you go out to the front store and you see a family sitting at one of the picnic tables, maybe two or three generations sitting there having fun, eating ice cream, we're part of that. We're part of that family moment.
It's come from generations of families from this community that have worked here, put their blood, sweat, and tears into getting this product out there.
So does anybody here know Kevin Ingram? That was in the video there. Yeah, so Kevin Ingram started working for Coal at the Dairy pretty well right out of high school. One of the smartest guys I ever met. He quickly rose up to become a plant manager and was a plant manager for close to 40 years. But frankly, I think Kevin Ingram carried Coal at the Dairy on his back for that time developing the business. He just recently retired a couple of years ago, I think after 45 years at Coal at the Dairy. And he certainly saw a lot of change. One of the things that Kevin talked about that I can certainly identify with was when he talked about when he goes out to the front store and sees a family sitting around, you know, having a moment with ice cream and building relationships. I still do that today. Every Friday when I leave the office, I make a point of going out around Joseph Street and across Point Street, and I slowly roll by the front of our dairy. And it is so satisfying knowing the hard work you put in during the week is making those great family memories every single day. And it's a feeling I'll never forget. I want to tell you a little bit about me because I do have an interesting story with Coal at the Dairy. So I talked about how I knew Jack and Adam when I was 10. I actually started working at Coal at the Dairy when I was 11 years old. We don't do child labor today anymore, but we used to back in the mid-80s. You know, the way the story goes is my family ran into some rough times, and I remember going to my mom, who's one of the toughest ladies I've ever met, and I asked her if I could get some new shoes. Now, my mom, I'm 11, and I asked if I could have some new shoes. Probably the only time I've ever seen my mom break down in her life, she said no, because on Friday we're not going to have any money. And as the oldest son of three kids, I figured I needed to do something about that. So I jumped on my bike. I lived about 2 kilometers away from where the dairy sits today. And I rode my bike up, and I found Monty Crow. Monty Crow's a second-generation owner. And I rode right into the yard, and I found him, and I said, could I have a job? And he said, I don't know. When could you start? I said, whenever you want. He said, how about right now? And this is where small-town communities help out people within the community. He had me scooping ice for fishermen's coolers to keep their beers cold when they're out on the lake. And I did that for a summer. And then the next year, I hit the jackpot when he asked me if I wanted to come and work inside the plant for the summer. I was so young, he couldn't put me on the payroll. So he paid me $20 a day to work from 6 a.m. till noon. And I had to come find him every single day to go get my $20 out of his pocket. But I loved being at work, and I didn't want to go home. And so at noon, I just wouldn't go find him, and I would just stay in the plane to work away until he'd come in, kick me in the ass, give me the $20, and say, get out of here. And then after a year or two of doing that, they decided to move me up into the cold storage section of the plant where the milk would come up, I'd put it away, and then I would load trucks in the afternoon for the very next day. Sometimes I'd load trucks in the morning. By this point, I'm now starting at 4 a.m. And 14 years old, Monte Crow came up to me and said, hey, do you want to learn how to drive a truck? And as a 14-year-old boy, of course I want to learn how to drive a truck. So here it was, 14 years old, 4:30 in the morning, Monty's standing on the running board, hanging onto the mirror, and I'm learning how to drive a transport truck. And the reason why I did that, I think, is I didn't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning anymore, and wanted me just to pull the truck up to the yard myself. So I did that, and I worked till I was 19. Now, I did pretty well in school after a couple of rough years. I started doing well at the end. And I remember it was August of 1992, and he jumped up in the back of the truck and he said to me, hey, are you going to go away to school? And I said, well, I've enrolled at Black University to go get an accounting degree, but you know, if I could just stay here and work, I wouldn't have to get student debt. I could probably buy a house when I'm like 25, and I could settle down here in Black Cajun. He said to me, look, I couldn't go to school. I had to stay here and help out Dad. You need to go to school. So no, you can't have a job here. And he said, you have to go away and get a university education, then you can call me to come back. So I did that. I went and got a CPA a designation. I worked on Bay Street for 4 years. I met my wife. We were kind of settling down a little bit. But man, I missed food. Once you get into food business, it's really hard to get out of your veins. And so I decided I wanted to find a different job. Well, better to find a job is Kraft Foods. Kraft Foods had cheese. Cheese can't be that different than milk and ice cream. And I never forgot that conversation I had with Monte Crow. I got to Kraft Foods, a fantastic place to work. I worked there for 20 years. I started as a financial analyst. I worked my way up to be vice president of finance. Then I decided to move over to sales. I worked out to be a vice president of sales. And then I said I really wanted to be in marketing. And after about 5 years in marketing, I got promoted to be the chief marketing officer. So here I was, this little kid from Bob Cajun, with a bachelor of accounting, running one of the largest food manufacturing marketing teams in the country. But time came when it was time for me to leave Kraft Foods. They went through a buyout. There was a combination of Heinz. I really didn't like the way the new owners were treating employees and lack of development and lack of training, all the stuff that worked well for me. And so I decided to kind of engineer my way out. So on a Thursday, we decided it was time for me to move on, but we had to keep a secret until we could find a way to announce it to, quite frankly, to the investment community and also to our employees. That was a Thursday. Now, I like beer a lot. And one of my favorite events is the Kawartha Settlers Village Beer Festival. If you haven't been there, go. It's a fantastic event. I happened to be there, and I ran into Monte Crow's son. Monte's now passed. I ran into Monte Crow's son, Mike Crow. And he said to me, I don't know if this is the beer talking, but would you like to come in on Kawartha Dairy? Our current president's going to retire. I said, yeah, I'll take it. He was like, what? And I said, yeah, I'll take it. And I said, secretly, I said, I just got left go of Kraft Foods on Thursday, but you got to keep it a secret. And then he said to me, the only problem is our current president is going to retire for a year. I said, great, I'll take a year off and make it up to my kids of all the time that I spent away from them. So I've been back at Kawartha Dairy now since 2018. It's coming up on 8 years. Time is really flying. And I'm really happy about making the choice. Why I came back was three main reasons. The first one was to give back to the family that looked after me and my family when we were in a bit of a rough spot. And it's organizations like these. My dad happens to be in the Masonic Lodge, so are the Crows. It probably was no secret when I rolled in to the dairy that day and Monte Crow gave me that job because he knew that we needed some help. So I knew I'd been at Kraft Foods. I learned about marketing and sales and finance, and I knew I could come back and help the Crow family. So that's the main reason I came back. I also saw the potential behind the brand. I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. Having managed over 200 brands at Kraft Foods, this is probably the most powerful brand I have ever worked on. And then number three, it's nice to be back. I have a place between Balcazar and Dunsford on County Road 24. I have lunch with my parents who still live in the same house every Thursday. And it is great to kind of reconnect with organizations like these and also my friends and family back in the area. So I came back, but when I did sit down at a desk on the first day and I took a look at things, I could tell that there was some trouble. The Crow family asked me to tackle three things. They saw some of these too. What they wanted me to do, they asked me, they said, Brian, can you do some strategic planning? We're growing very quickly, but we don't know where we're headed. So we're just kind of keeping up. We want to know what direction we need to go. I said, yeah, I can help you with that. Number two, they said, look, our sales are going up, but our profits are going down. Can you help me with that? I said, yes, I can. I helped turn around the cheese business at the Kraft Foods. And so I said, yes, I can do that. And then number three, I'll never forget, Jeff Crow is a second-generation owner. He said, I would like this to be a place where people want to come to work again. And I said, yeah, I can help you with that too. So I decided to kind of come, and these were the three things I was going to focus on. The first thing I did is I talked to over 150 employees to kind of find out from them what's going on. And they were extremely proud of the quality of the products that we made. They were extremely proud of the growth, but they didn't really feel engaged. They didn't feel like they were part of the story. Some of the things I found out is that our product quality was far superior. You might talk about super premium ice cream at premium prices. We were making some of the best ice cream in Canada and charging a reasonable price for it, but our product quality was far superior. There wasn't a strategic direction like the board said. Quantum Dairy wasn't a desired place to work. Employees told me that when I talked to them. I spent over 100 hours talking to these people to find out where we needed to go. Sales were going up, profits were going down. And what was interesting is that the employees had no idea about any of these three things. So it was a bit of a dilemma. And we had to sit back and take a look at where we're going. The first thing I did is I pumped the brakes. The company was growing quickly. It doubled in the previous 5 years before I joined. The first thing I did is I just hammered on the brakes and said, we need to assess where we're headed, how we're going to get there. What we concluded is we needed to build a foundation before we could grow. We needed to firm up who we are, what we did, before we decided to grow. And there were three things that we needed to focus on. One is we needed to figure out what is our culture and where we need to go. Different than your generation, different than my generation, kids, when they come to work today, they want to work for a company that they believe in. They want to work for a company that they feel like they belong and that they agree with where the company is going. It's important that we reestablish and confirm what is our company culture. Number two, we needed to build commitment. We needed to build commitment with owners, the Crowe family, with employees, with customers, with government. And so we started building commitment, and then we also needed to make sure we were communicating well. You know, one reason why employees were not engaged is they didn't know what was going on. And so it took a lot of conversation with the Crowe family to kind of open up communication a little bit more to bring our employees in to help us move our cause forward. So let's talk a little bit about those three C's, as I kind of call it, and culture. And after talking to 150 employees, what I realized is we're not in the business of making ice cream. We're not in the business of making milk. We're not in the business of scooping it or shipping it or making it. What we do every single day is we make great family memories. And it took me back to the time when I was a kid, leaving work, walking by family, sitting out on a picnic table, enjoying time together. Grandparents and grandkids, moms and dads, cousins. This is actually a picture I took from my kids' social media accounts. This is my youngest daughter, Sophie. This is my older daughter, Maya. And this is their cousin, Jayla Arkwright from Fenton Falls. This is a picture I took from their Instagram account before I came to Quartha Dairy. In my opinion, this is a perfect depiction of why we're in business. We're in business to create moments like this of cousins, one of their first trips uptown by themselves, sitting at the beach park, eating Quartha Dairy ice cream and having a good time. This is what we do every single day. And I think the last time we counted, I think we made close to 100 million memories every single year across Canada. Okay? All right, so once we determine that, what are we going to do with this? So our mission is to share the premium taste of the Quarthas with all Canadians. Now notice, it doesn't say the premium taste of Quartha Dairy. All of you live in the Quarthas. You live here for a reason. You're either born here or you moved here, but you stayed here. And that's because you enjoy the feeling of being in the Quarthas. We are close to nature and lakes and trees. And this is a premium experience, living and visiting here. And so our objective is to take that premium taste of the Corinthians and share that with all Canadians. And it's guided by the values that Jack and I started back in 1937. And a bit of a spoiler alert, they're kind of old-fashioned. Because we believe old-fashioned values are what count. So first of all, this is also what I heard from all of the employees. That 100 hours, I talked with 150 people, this is what they felt the culture was, could be, should be, going in the future. So first of all, we believe that we are family, and families sometimes disagree, but you always have each other's backs. And I have lots of stories of watching my kids fight like crazy behind closed doors. I said, but when you walk out that front door, you better have each other's backs on the playground. And that's what it means to us. We have a one-hour-long lineup coming out one of our stores. We have each other's backs to figure out how do we make sure we serve that line. We enjoy the work. We work very hard at Corte Dairy. We always have. The Corte family work ethic is very, very strong. And so we appreciate the value of work, and we always get it done. One of the key things that surprises me coming from Corte Dairy versus working at other places is nothing is impossible in our company, and we always figure it out. We are customer-obsessed because if we don't have the customers, there's no such thing as a business. We are small-town Canada. This is my favorite, by the way. Not just because I'm small-town, but we're small-town because no matter where we work, we treat people like they live around the corner. Okay. And when we have a store downtown Toronto on Danforth Avenue, that's actually one of the strongest communities we see because it services a small community in around Danforth. We know exactly our customers' names, their grandkids' names, their dogs' names, their favorite ice cream, and what they're doing this weekend. This is what we do in our stores. And then we're proud of our quality, which is no surprise. So these are the five small-town values that guide us every day. We don't publish a lot of rules. We don't publish a lot of guidelines on how to do business. We just say, when you're faced with a decision, if you listen to these five values, you're probably not going to screw it up. Okay, so this is how we run the business. So commitment. So it started with the Crow family. You had to understand, what do you want to do? Do you want to sell this business? I'll come in and help you sell it. And they said, no way. We want to keep this to feed the fourth and the fifth and the sixth generation of Crows. So that was the first piece of advice, and then the next thing is we went and developed a whole strategy of how do we actually grow the business. So what have we done over the past few years, and what have we done to build that foundation for growth? Well, first of all, I did a leadership team upgrade. Not that we didn't have great leaders before. We did, but four of the seven were over 65. And when they saw me come in at 4 to 5 with the energy and the direction we needed, they said, you know what, it's time for me to step aside and let you bring in people that are going to help drive the company forward. That was their decision. But it gave me the opportunity to bring in my opinion, a dream team that's helping us run the business. Very experienced people in consumer packaged goods that have kind of managed businesses all over North America. And we got this one in Bob Cajun. A lot of them have moved, Dr. Bob Cajun, to help us do this. We also didn't have a middle management layer. We kind of had a leadership team, and then we had a lot of workers. And I remember the day I was sitting in my office, and I could hear the shunt driver who works out in the yard run upstairs and ask Mike Crow where to park the trucks. And I said, well, that's where Mike Crow's putting his time, he invents our ice cream, probably not the right thing to do. So we put a middle management layer in. That was a very expensive investment, but also gives a lot of local management employment right here in the Corthus. So I think we added about 75 middle management positions right here in the Corthus. We implemented a new, what we call ERP, or a new computer system, to manage our business. Interesting thing about the food business is really doing exactly where everything goes that you sell it. So for instance, I can tell you, if I got milk from a cow here in Fern, I can actually tell you where that product sold across Canada. I know exactly where it went. I know exactly what product it went to, what date it went into, where it got stored, where it got shipped, and where it got sold to a customer. You have to do that in the food industry because we're in the job of putting stuff in people's bodies. And that's a really big responsibility. So that computer system helps us do that. We really invested in quality and food safety. We went out and got a significant food safety qualification. We invested in a brand new warehouse. If you're driving the Bob Cajun and you look on the east side of Highway 36, there's a 60,000 square foot warehouse there. And that we built in 2017. We invested millions of dollars in new trucks. We essentially have replaced pretty well every piece of equipment in our plant. And in fact, yesterday, we just put in a brand new ice cream filler and a new robotic packer. And so that equipment just got moved into the plant yesterday, and it's going to get set up in the next couple of weeks. And then obviously all this stuff costs money, a lot of which is funded by the Crow family. They really don't take a lot of money out. They pour it right back into the business. And also you work with bank partners and things like that. So we did a financing restructure. We also committed to our brand. So we used to make a lot of products for other people. But when you're limited in your capacity and you're growing like we are, we had to exit those businesses. So at this point in time, we really only make product that's branded Quite the Day. We committed to building our quality through food safety and consumer care. If we're going to be small town and the consumer is going to call us with a question, a criticism, or a praise about our product, we better pick up the phone. Because when you call your neighbor, you expect them to pick up the phone. So, if somebody calls us with a complaint, we will get back to them within 24 hours. And we do that 99% of the time. That's a significant investment for us, but it's a give back to the consumers that buy our product. If you actually call, and then you might think that you might have gotten sick from the product, which really rarely happens, we get back within 8 hours. And that doesn't matter if it's a Sunday or Monday or a Saturday. Okay, so we're very committed to our food safety. We're also committed to our quality and our prices. So, I work for a big company, Kraft Foods. People have objectives and bonus targets and things like that. This never would have happened at Kraft Foods. Never. A couple of years ago, Walmart came to us and said, you're going to have to drop your price by 6% if you want to continue to have your product in Walmart. We said, no, thank you. And then they called, we called them and said, just to be clear, if you lower our price on a specific date, and this was late 2020, we're going to stop shipping you. And they laughed. I said, well, no, really, everyone's going to pay that. And they said, well, no, we're really going to stop shipping you. Well, fast forward a couple of conversations, that date came, they expected a 6% reduction, and we discontinued them. We got a phone call from the buyer about 4 days later and said, you know all the shelves we're into because you stopped shipping us. And I said, yes. And they sent us, they said, no, well, okay, well, you can come back in. I said, no, actually, we're going to take a price increase with you. They sent us the price increase forms. And we said, well, thank you. So we look for partners that want to work with us and value our quality. So we did exit from Walmart in 2020. And they actually told us that no one's done that to them before. And so we've never met the Crow family. The Crow family is committed to the product that their grandfather made back in the 1950s. Interesting enough, Walmart came back to us every single year. We finally said yes. Last year, we're now in every single Walmart from the Quebec border all the way out to the Pacific Ocean. So at every single Walmart. Costco. We actually exited Costco last year as well. Same sort of situation. They were not willing to pay the price that we needed to maintain the quality we had, so we walked away from Costco. Costco was our second biggest customer. But this is the commitment you have to have if you're going to make the quality product that we do. We also committed to employees. We actually decided benchmarking and realized we had an opportunity to invest in employees and significantly increase wages across the business, right from the shop floor all the way up to management. Through COVID, interestingly, and you're going to find out about Quite the Day. This is probably the most you're going to hear bragging about Quite the Day ever in this meeting here today. Because the Crow family is not one that likes to talk a lot about what we do. But I will tell you, during COVID, the Crow family significantly invested in employees. We were an essential business, which means the government can actually come in and tell you to run your plant. They didn't, because we continued to do that. We were an essential business making milk to serve stores and you here in this area. In fact, many of the big companies couldn't keep up with the demand, so we actually filled in for a lot of the big companies. Our milk doubled overnight. Our ice cream grew by 70% during COVID. We had no COVID outbreaks in our plant. We had a significant attendance. In fact, we did not have an attendance issue. We never worked from home. We were committed to building the business together. And through COVID, I think, was a big commitment we made to employees, and the employees made back to us. I'm so proud of that. In 2022, we were voted Canada's safest employer in Canada. There was over 1,000 applicants for this position or for this recognition. We were the safest manufacturer in Canada. In 2023, we were the safest place to work for young people. We hire over 400 students every single year to work in our stores, in our plant, in our distribution center, and we're happy with our commitment to employee safety. And then every year we ask employees how they're doing. And they tell us where we're doing a good job and where we're not. And the commitment for us is if you tell us we're not doing a good job, we're going to fix it. And so we made a big commitment to employees. We also focus on communication. We're making sure that our communication balances employees, owners, and customers, owners being a Crow family. And it's simple and consistent. So you're seeing here, like, we talk consistently with our employees, our customers, our suppliers, very consistently what we're in business of, what's our goals, how do we operate, and we're very committed to how we do business and upholding our quality. We actually have very standard ways of communicating what our objectives are. We do scorecarding through the year to see how we're doing against it. We have TVs up all around the company, and we actually publish this every month, so people know exactly what's going on within the business. So if you sit back and take a look at that strategic plan, you know, that the Crow family asked me to build back in 2018, I would characterize it to say between 1937 and the 2000s, we were largely a local company. The Crow family was very happy to service the Lindsay area, the Halliburton area, the Minden area, Bob Cajun, the Kawarthas, Peterborough, and essentially, that's what we did up until the 2000s. I'd say between 2017 and 2023, just as they were bringing me on, that's when we really focused on, okay, if we're going to grow, we need to build that foundation for growth and be able to prepare for the difficulties that can come with growing across the country. And then in 2024, I kind of characterized that we started growing while we were still kind of changing the oil on the tire. So we're running a race while we're changing tires. Okay? And so that was a very dynamic year in 2024. So last year, when we reflect, I kind of call this we're taking flight. Anybody know what bird this is? It's an oil spray. So every single meeting for the whole year of 2025, I started with a picture of an oil spray. And I talked about it being local. I talked about them being prolific hunters. I talked to them about their successful rate of catching fish, their commitment to their partners. And in 2025, we took flight. And our mission was really to share the premium and taste of Kawarthas with all Canadians. And I would say in 2025 was our biggest step forward to do that. And we're doing that by talking to people about trying the taste of life by the lake. Now, who here lives closer than around a lake here? Put your hand up. A few folks, right? Anyone want to guess how many lakes are there in Canada? Can somebody just throw out a number? 8,000? Keep going. What's that? You always ruin it. There are 1 million lakes in Canada. 1 million lakes. Canadians know what it means to be by the lake. Just to let you know, the next closest country is Russia with 600,000 lakes. We have a significant number of lakes, and Canadians know what that feels like. And so we did some research. As we started thinking about coming outside of the Kawarthas, you know, is our brand promise and our positioning, the benefits that we bring with our brand, is it going to resonate particularly with Western customers? Because we did research and said population, disposable income, propensity to eat ice cream, growing in the West was the first place that we should look for. And what we found out when we did consumer studies is that Westerners really identified with making great family memories. They resonated with the fact that we still make ice cream the way that Jack did. They really love family-owned Canadian company, and this research was done before our whole thing with Trump went on. And so they had a propensity to support Canadian companies, and they really loved the idea that we made our ice cream from fresh milk and fresh cream. And so I'm happy to report, as of March of last year, 11 million more Canadians now have access to Kawartha Dairy that didn't have it. So we opened up close to, I think, 900 stores in March. March 1st, we were in zero. March 31st, we were in 900 stores. It happened real fast. Now, it happened fast. It was 2 straight years of negotiation with those retailers at West because they had no idea how to pronounce Kawartha. And I'm not kidding. They still don't know how to pronounce it sometimes. So we had to help them understand who we were, but as of March, we now are available to 11 million more Canadians. And so when we think about our mission of sharing the premium taste of Kawartha with our Canadians, 2025 is a really important year for us. Okay? We're really focusing on sort of building our presence in 2 main areas. Like we built our brand here in the Kawarthas, we said, where are there Kawarthas in the West? And the Okanagan is a natural place for us to focus in. So we built a distribution center just outside of Kelowna. Anybody here been to Kelowna? Or, yeah, some of you have been there. Do you agree with me that the Okanagan is pretty similar to the Kawarthas, except they have mountains? Okay? Yeah. And so we're setting up shop there. So we actually have about 40 different scooping partners out there with our cone sign up at the wall. And we've built a distribution center there. And don't be surprised if you hear that we have a store opening there sometime soon, but I didn't tell you that. And why? Because this is really Ontario's Kawartha Lakes. Over 2 million tourists go there every single year. And we open up in our DC in September. We're also focusing on growing on Vancouver Island. Who here has been on Vancouver Island? Okay, still quite a few people. Vancouver Island, we kind of call it like Ontario's Muskoka. Over 5 million overnight visits. And you know what they do when they go? They go to the beach, they go hiking, they go camping, and they go boating. Same kind of stuff they do around here. And that's where Canadians go to vacation. They go to the Okanagan, and they go to Vancouver Island. And so we are essentially in every single grocery store on Vancouver Island, and we opened up our own store just outside of Victoria, just outside of Langford, on the Marriott Highway, which is one of the main highways to travel as you go to Tofino. Okay? So as we think about our business of building memories, we built almost 1 million new memories, 1 million memories, just by opening 6 stores in the last 18 months. So when I got here in 2018 and I put these brakes on, we didn't open any stores for 7 years. We stayed with our current 10 stores, and I said, we're going to get our foundation built, then we can open. In the last 18 months, we've increased our store count by 60%. We opened 3 in Ontario back in 2024, Burlington, Coburg, and downtown Toronto on the Danforth. Burlington was our biggest store in 2025. So we opened it up, and within a year and a half, it became our biggest store. The lineups are out the door, because I hear it's in the mall, and the lineup will come out tonight over here. And at first, the other tenants in that strip mall used to complain about those lineups, until they realized that their business was going to grow, because our lineups were there. Coburg, Ontario has been a runway success, actually one of our number one stores to sell 4 liter bags. Out of that. Why? Because it was a drive-thru. And Coburg people are almost as lazy as people in Lindsay. Because Lindsay is the number one store for 4 liter bags. So you guys don't like to get out of your cars. And surprisingly enough, a lot of people will buy 4 liter bags. I think it's because there's usually a kid in the car seat in the back and they don't want to get them out, haul them into the store, and go get their 4 liter bag of milk. They can do it very quickly. And I might as well get a milkshake at the same time. Lindsay's number one product they sell, 4 liter bags, number 2, milkshakes. Because you can drive and drink a milkshake at the same time. And then Toronto, Ontario, we're opening the Danforth. There's no parking. There's a big patio to the side. And it is introducing Kawartha Dairy to downtown people in Toronto. And then in 2025, we opened up 3 stores again. We opened up in Ottawa, Ontario. It's actually an 18 Hills location. We modeled this one after the Dairy Barn, like Mount Lindsay. It is mainly driven by drive-thru. Unlike Lindsay, though, you can walk in. You can uncomfortably fit about 10 people in one to order the product. But again, the lineups will go out around the corner. To get our product. I was actually talking to a government official a couple of weeks ago about a project we're working on, and they were going on and on, but they'd love to come and try Kawartha Dairy, but the lineup is just too long to do that. And then we we opened up two stores in British Columbia. This was part of our commitment to our grocery expansion, which was we want to start making memories at the ground level in our retail stores. We opened a store in Britannia Beach. It's about 40 minutes south of Whistler. 7 million cars pass it every day on the Sea to Sky Highway. And we opened a store on Vancouver Island, like I talked about, on the Malamat Highway. And the only difference with this one is this is our only seasonal store. It only opens up from March to October. It's a store that's been there for 7 more years called Ice Cream Mountain. We kept the name. And we just now converted to be selling only Kawartha Dairy products. All of these stores have met with significant success as we're launching them. Like I said, we're 900 grocery chain stores carrying our product out west. So where are we now? Well, we're done building our foundation. Even though I said we were pumping the brakes and slowing down, we still grew our business 85% over that time. Our opportunity was to grow more than that, but we weren't ready for it. So we've grown 85% since 2018. We have 16 more stores since then, and we've definitely breached the Western frontier with 900 more stores, and we're adding 600 more in another month. So we're getting full listings with Loblaws. So Loblaws in North Shores out west. We have Federated Co-op, which is in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Choices Market on the island, Buy Love Foods on the island, Food Basics, and like I said, we're going to be opening up another store coming up in March. So, that's my story of cautious growth. And I do believe the main reason why Kawartha Dairy continues to be successful. And one of the last main independently owned dairies left in Canada is the fact that we do things cautiously. We could have kept growing. But the Crow family is not a greedy family. The Crow family is not someone where they're looking to, you know, get rich quick. They still drive like 2015 Ford F-150s. They come to work with work boots. We have several Crow family members that continue to work in the business. One of them is a truck driver, one of them is a buyer, one of them works in customer service, one of them works on the dock, putting work crates into the building, and then we also have Mike Crow, who is the director of product, the director of research and development. He's the guy who invents our ice cream. He also is the chairman of the board that I report to. So what I want to leave you with is the commitment that the Crow family makes to this area and investments they make in employment, not only for people that work at Kawartha Dairy, but for the many, 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 many farms that support it, the businesses that sell us here. The Crow family likes to say, we like to help people, but we do a wink in the dark. And so this is sort of my public service announcement to the Crow family. It would be driving them crazy if they knew I was saying this, but it is a pleasure to work for them. They have the right focus on quality of product, their customers and their employees. They make it just an absolute dream for a CEO like myself to work for the Crow family. And I certainly appreciate the opportunity to come and tell our cautious growth story with you. It's a fantastic organization. I hope I've lived up to the Rhodes Scholar that you guys actually had last time we were here in terms of being able to present to you. But I'd like to take this time to maybe see if you have any questions for me with respect to our story here at Kawartha Dairy. Yes?
Yeah,